Because this first Corinthians has been pretty much corrective and admonishment. The Corinthian church had gotten off track, and Paul's come along, and he's straightened them out on a whole bunch of things. And we'll know from 2 Corinthians that they do actually get it. And it's sometimes, maybe it's just me, even though we know our parents were right, we really didn't want to hear all that corrective stuff. Was it just me? Or our boss, you know, when we mess up stuff, we know that we messed up, but we really don't want to hear all that corrective stuff. And I think it was probably kind of the same thing for the Corinthians. You know, the first letter was a response to some bad stuff that was going on. Anyway, the point is, all the way up through this first few chapters, Paul's been trying to straighten out a few kinks in their hose, and I think he's done a really good job. But now in chapter 15 is so cool. It's almost like Paul is saying, now that I have your attention, let me show you what's in it for you. And he sets the stage for what's in it for you by talking about the resurrection of Christ. That whole first part of the chapter, all about the resurrection of Christ, was to plant something that says, because of this, and now everything else. Because of the resurrection. Because the resurrection really did happen. Because the resurrection is the whole ball game, we're going to have the resurrection of the dead. We're going to have the resurrection of our physical bodies. And we're going to have the resurrection to something. Notice all the songs today. Oh God, our help in ages past. All hail the power. We're singing, a mighty fortress is our God. Paul has set the stage that say, because of who he is, we get all the benefits. Now, by the way, there's a comma there. If we are in Christ. If we are in Christ, we get all the benefits. We're going to have the perfected, resurrected body. But turn with me, if you will, back to chapter 15. We're going to wrap up the chapter today. And we are in chapter 15. We're going to be starting at verse 50. Verse 50. And I've titled this, The Mystery and the Victory. Some of these things are a little unclear, but they're all about we win. We win. Jesus already won the Super Bowl of eternity. Do you want to be on his team or not? So it's all about mystery and the victory. However, he starts out in kind of an odd way. He starts out by saying, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So what do we make of a statement like this? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Well, aren't we flesh and blood? Hasn't Paul just made a big deal out of the fact that we're going to have a physical body? It almost sounds like he's contradicting himself. We're going to have a physical body, and then he starts out by saying, you know, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So what's he talking about? He's gone to great lengths to show that we'll have this physical body. Does it mean only certain people are going to go to heaven? So we have to define the definition of its meaning from the overall teachings. Jesus first introduced this concept when he was speaking to the Pharisee Nicodemus. Do you remember the story? He comes to see Nicodemus at night, and he has this really interesting conversation. It kind of goes like this. He ends up saying this, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do you not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again? So here's that mystery. Even Nicodemus, who was a teacher of the law, was kind of going, excuse me? you want to tease that out for me a little bit? But Jesus is making the point that if you are merely flesh, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. He's not making a statement about whether you're physical or non-physical, because some people have taken this passage and said, well, that means that Jesus must have been a spirit. But that goes against all the scriptures we've been reading. What Jesus was talking about with Nicodemus is, even though you have a physical body, you need to be born as a spiritual being. Not a ghost, not a vapor, But in addition to your physical self, you need to have inside of you, born of the Spirit, a spiritual being. Because now when we come forward to chapter 15, Paul is saying flesh and blood cannot inherit. What he's saying is those who have not been born of the Spirit cannot enter the kingdom of God. You add to yourself a spiritual dimension to who you are. The implication here is that the reference to flesh and blood isn't looking at anything physical. Rather, it's speaking of that spiritual regeneration. And if you look at the whole counsel of Scripture, you understand that the Bible says that we are dead in our trespasses. And the Old Testament says we have a heart of stone. So putting all of it together, God is saying, or Jesus is saying, the disciples are saying, that absent the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, you are dead. You have a heart of stone. The Holy Spirit comes and regenerates you and turns your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. This is what Paul's talking about. You have to have the spiritual heart in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. So once again, he's admonishing them that they must be in the family of Christ, they must be regenerated, and they must actively pursue the life of Christ. That's why we're going to be talking about spiritual disciplines. The spiritual disciplines, by the way, are not going to get you into heaven. It's only the regeneration, this born-again idea, this becoming spiritual is what is going to open the gates of heaven for you. We pursue the spiritual disciplines in response to, in appreciation for that regeneration. Paul then goes on to tell about this mystery, which involves the change that all believers will go through. The corruptible will be put on incorruption, and mortality will become immortality. This is kind of a good one. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Can you imagine him talking to a bunch of new believers? Listen, I'm going to tell you a secret. We're all not going to sleep. Now, in the Bible, you know, it talks about sleep. They use the term sleep. They're talking about death. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. You remember last week we read from 1 Thessalonians. It talks about the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we will be caught up in the air. Now, depending on your theology, it doesn't necessarily mean physically, you know, at 32,000 feet. That's a whole other discussion. What it's saying is those who are regenerated, those who have the Spirit, those who have the imperishable, the regenerated heart, when Christ returns, it'll be sudden and it'll be loud. And your change that we talked about last week, your change that will give you that physically perfected body without any pain, without any suffering, those who haven't passed yet, like that, you'll be in that new body. Isn't that cool? And who could do such a thing? Who could do such a thing? Not Buddha, not Scientology. You know, not Joseph Smith. You know, there's nothing, don't get me wrong, we don't denigrate any of those people. What I'm saying is those people can't do what I just said because they are not the creative force that created humanity and life to begin with. Only God can do that in an instant. He doesn't have to do it one by one. He doesn't have to do it country by country. He doesn't have to do it race by race. He doesn't have to do it like that. It says, it's very clearly, in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, boom, we'll all be changed. So that resurrected body we talked about last week, like that. And there you are. If you've already crossed over, if you've already passed on, like that. The perfect human, physical body that's also spiritual. And that's what we need to enter the kingdom of heaven. You need to have that spiritual change. We need to have a complete change to make us suitable for our new environment. This implies a conversion of our same physical bodies to a body with heavenly qualities. Nature does not know extinction, but transformation. As science says, energy cannot be destroyed, but transformed. You know, people talk about Christianity as being this kind of like mystical, people believe all kinds of myths and fairy tales. But you know what science says? You can't actually destroy anything. If the sun exploded tomorrow, every atom that's in this solar system would still exist. It would be changed. It would be radically changed. You throw a log on the fire. Remember at the Civil War thing, we had a campfire going all night. It was like really wonderful. And we went through this gigantic pile of wood. So wait, all the wood's gone now. No, it isn't. There's ashes in the fire pit. The smoke went up into the air. If things can't be destroyed, they can only be changed. That's what science says. And this is what the Bible says. Your physical body will die and will see corruption and will cease to exist until this happens. And then in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're all going to be changed. We're all going to be raised imperishable. It's the promise of Scripture. This is the